Happy Friday. Welcome back one last time this week for The Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam here on Friday, August the 24th, 23rd actually, just one day before probably the best fantasy football draft weekend of the season. I have my main home league draft tomorrow. I'm so excited. Rankings are being updated constantly over on the site. And we have, you know, 7-8 really awesome analysts doing rankings. And I thought it'd be a great opportunity, especially with draft season here, to bring on a colleague from FTNFantasy.com, talk about some players we kind of disagree on in the rankings. Also going to break down real quick the Jahan Dotson trade. And perfect timing because my guest in the podcast did just that yesterday. It's Chris Meany from FTNFantasy, one of my great friends. Meany, what's up, dude? Excited to have you on as always. Excited for this time of the year. And also excited that the promo code FTN15, once again, live. So again, take advantage of that for the greatest, in my opinion, weekend of fantasy football draft season. Use that promo code FTN15. But Meany, what's up, dude?
Yeah, what's going on, brother? Always nice to chop it up with you. It is the most exciting time, right? I mean, everybody loves the draft. Of course, we're all waiting for week one of the NFL season, but this is a big draft weekend. You know, next weekend, Labor Day is also a big one too, Labor Day weekend, but it's the last weekend of summer. It's tough to get everybody together. So this is a big draft weekend. You mentioned promo code FTN15. My goodness, like the stuff that you and I've been at with FTN since day one, and you know, the growth in the stats hub and the tools, all that stuff is going to be updated throughout the season, which is fantastic, and like updated right away. A credit to all the crew who's charting, you know, and doing it every single weekend. And the Fantasy Football Plus package you mentioned, you know, the FTN15 promo code, it's got everything, dude, like cheat sheets for whatever crazy format you play in: half point, old school, standard, super flex, tight end, premium. You have like the Discord where you can reach out to us. You have all our rankings and projections, Aaron Schatz's DVOA statistics. It's all there, man, like everything and more than you can dream of, plus content and articles. So I'm just excited that we're wrapping up the final weekend of preseason and we could just get to week one. But yeah, happy to join you. We're going to talk about some of our favorite targets, probably talk draft strategy throughout. As you said, it's a big weekend, man. And it's nice that it's finally feels like football is really here now.
Yeah, I mean, you get access to the Stats Hub, which is, that's in itself awesome value. But then you get the game plan draft guide by Jeff. You get the Almanac, which is like one of the best pieces of content and football analysis you can possibly find. You get access to the rankings, everything. So again, you have a draft this weekend, next weekend, a little bit behind. We got you covered. Use that promo code FTN15. And also with the return of football, the return of the largest pro football contest in Vegas with Circa. You have Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes with two ways to win and absolutely zero rake. With Circa Survivor, contestants select one team each week with no point spread, lasts the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. Enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for details. Glad to have them sponsoring the podcast again this season. Meany, you did a short video yesterday, quick reaction to the Jahan Dotson trade. And I do want to break that down because we have kind of had, I guess, inklings that something could happen with Dotson. He was falling out of favor in the depth chart. There was reports that like Washington's still looking for the wide receiver two behind Terry McLaurin. So I wasn't completely shocked that he was traded. I was pretty surprised that we saw this divisional trade with the Eagles, who, yes, we'll see probably more usage in the slot from Devonta Smith this season with Kellen Moore there, but they've kind of been looking for that wide receiver three for a couple years now. It was, you know, they tried with Quez Watkins. They tried last year with Zacchaeus. They even brought in, what, Devontae Parker last year for a little bit. Like, this is, in my opinion, clearly the best third wide receiver they've had. But for me, the Eagles, it doesn't do much. Like, you're not starting or probably even drafting Jahan Dotson in most formats. It doesn't hurt A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. But Washington, on the other side, there is an impact here because you have a rookie in Luke McCaffrey. We have seen De'Ami Brown make plays in the preseason. And we could also simply see more like 12 personnel with Ben Sinnott and of course Zach Ertz. But what's your immediate takeaway from this trade? Jahan Dotson now staying in the division but going to the Eagles.
Yeah, the rare in-division trade. And kind of surprising that Washington, even if they, you know, last year was a step back, sophomore slump for Jahan Dotson. I mean, the rookie campaign, it was very promising. Mm-hmm. It's 7 touchdowns in 12 games. Man, he played fewer games than Terry McLaurin. He had more end zone targets than him. He looked like a player. And then year two was the sophomore slump. And I thought it was just more on the play calling and Sam Howell. And I was like, yeah, there's still an opportunity for this guy. But you're right, like throughout camp, there wasn't a lot of positive reports and there was some talk about cutting him, but it just seems so weird to maybe there's more here. Like maybe Dotson's not that great. But like, how do you trade a first round pick, 16th overall, you know, just under control a couple years into his career in the division, right? It kind of feels like Chase Claypool. You know, that guy popped off early on and then was super quiet. You're right about the Eagles. I don't remember the last time they had a solid three. Howie Roseman said about a month ago that the wide receiver three may not even be on the team. And I thought that they were just going to grab like a veteran. You know, remember last year when A.J. Brown went down, yeah, they were running Julio Jones like in the playoffs. So they really needed depth. Paris Campbell wasn't checking any boxes for them. Devontae Parker retired before he could even really touch the field. So I do like this move from the Eagles standpoint. You know, they had an extra third round pick by trading a fourth rounder in last year's draft to the Dolphins for, you know, a third in next year's draft. So essentially from their standpoint, you know, Dotson's like a fourth round, you know, this year and traded a pair of sevens for, you know, fifth rounder. So it's almost like they just drafted him in the fourth. But he's not going to do much, I don't think. If anything, he maybe hurts Goddard, who wasn't even a big red zone guy anyways. Devontae Smith should be fine. A.J. Brown's going to be fine. Jalen was already getting drafted as top quarterback. The Washington impact, though, as you mentioned. Luke McCaffrey, I don't know, man. Like, he may have a role in the slot, may have a role right away as a rookie, larger than we anticipated, right? In year one, they still have Jamison Crowder on there. They still have Zacchaeus, who's a former Eagle, had some moments for Philadelphia as the three past couple of years. But I would say like Luke McCaffrey, maybe short term is not fantastic, but he could grow into that larger role as, I would say, like the number three. I think Austin Ekeler is going to get a ton of catches. He could be second behind Terry McLaurin. They'll use Zach Ertz until, you know, maybe he falls down. So now it's just a rookie. And also Dyami Brown. We haven't seen a whole lot from Jaden Daniels in preseason. What I've noticed is that it's actually been a lot of short yardage.
It's all screens.
Stuff. And yeah, screens getting it out quick.
Which is weird, which because that's been like the polar opposite of what they've done in training camp. Like,
right, just I know.
Jaden Daniels. And that's why I was still a little bit surprised, even with all these reports about Dotson, because like he looked good when I was at camp watching practice, and he's had a really nice rapport with Daniels on the deep ball. And like, yeah, last year was terrible, but he was better than Terry McLaurin in the second half of his rookie season, just flat out better.
Oh, yeah.
So like, yeah. I think it's too early to declare Jahan Dotson a bust, but clearly, like, they, you know, they like, this was, especially if you're trading him, if you have no worries trading him to Washington to Philadelphia, to me, that signals that Washington's like, we don't think he's going to develop into much anyway. So if he trade him in the division, so be it. I think sneaky could be Ben Sinnott if we do see like a lot more 12 personnel with just a lack of wide. Like after Terry McLaurin, you just have question marks all over the place. So did this move Terry McLaurin at all for you, or was he kind of already solidified as a clear alpha in this offense anyway? But it's a good point. Like we've seen this in the past where like we've seen this horizontal raid from Cliff where it's a lot of screens, and that hasn't really fit with what Jaden Daniels did so well in college with throwing the deep ball. But if they continue to have this kind of screen pass, and we know they're going to play at a fast pace, that could definitely lean towards more Luke McCaffrey, especially as like a second. Like I did an episode of the podcast earlier this week with like second half breakouts, like guys that can really break out in the second half of the season. And had I known Jahan Dotson would be traded, Luke McCaffrey definitely would have been on that list.
Yeah, and I think he makes a lot of sense to be on that list, right? You know, just a rookie, like we were talking about, this is a former quarterback, right? Converted wide receiver, so it may take a little bit of time. But
if only his family was good at football, though. It's the only thing we're missing.
If only. Yeah, I mean, you have daddy and the brother there in CMC. So, I mean, the pedigree, the bloodlines, it's all there.
Check that's one other thing, too. Like, everybody that's like, you know, that didn't really, not that I'm like, you know, this football savant of watching some of the older players, but like a lot of people that are young just see that as, oh, he's Christian McCaffrey's brother, but like their dad was an awesome wide receiver.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It's you like to hear that anyways. It's obviously rare, but I mean the guy's been around the NFL and football probably his whole life, right? So yeah, an opportunity I think in the slot. As I mentioned, they still have like Jamison Crowder there who may bug you for a little bit, but come on, he's a little bit older here now. So pick 100 for McCaffrey in the NFL draft. So I would say him and, you know, the tight ends and Eckler with what we're talking about, right? Screen passes, getting the ball a little quick with that offensive line, and really short ADOT. I think like just over 5 what I've seen in the 2 games. I think we've only seen 1 deep ball and it was to Dyami Brown down the sideline. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on the series show this week, Jake was giving a little bit of love to Brown. I was giving a little bit more love to McCaffrey. I think Brown makes some sense, certainly in a best ball format. You want to take a flyer on him this weekend, late round stuff, but I don't think there'll be a lot of consistency there. I already had Terry High, man. Like I already felt like he was like a low-end wide receiver too. I mean, he's had 1,000 yards in 4 straight campaigns. This is the 12th different quarterback he's played with Daniels as he heads into year 6, and get some consistency for this guy. And I think, you know, he's a good decision maker. He's got a good deep ball. You talked about LSU and how, you know, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. There's a lot of weapons there for him, and he had a lot of success. So I think that Terry now will probably get drafted where he should. He'll probably get up inside the top 30 at the wide receiver position. The only thing, like, Pfeiffer, to get Terry to the next level when you look at his statistics is, like, can we get him 7 or 8 touchdowns? Because he's always just been at 4 or 5. And, you know, people will say, oh, you know, Dotson leaving is not good for Terry. You know, more focus on the defense. Like, just stop it. Like, he's always faced top coverage.
Defense doesn't work like that anyway, like, at the NFL level.
I know,
level
and he's
anymore.
Never had anybody anyways on the opposite side of
the
him.
The only that guys really that even, away. Like, the only guys that really actually get doubled, and it's still at, like, a really low rate, is, like, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, he's bracketed double triple.
And like even then it's like 10 to 15 at most percent of the time. Like it's I don't buy into that.
But the thing is he can handle top coverage. We've seen it for 4. We've seen it for years. So
I think he fits so well with Jaden Daniels too, because I think Terry McLaurin in terms of deep ball tracking is like top 5 in the NFL. He's so absolutely good at that. So yeah, like he's still in that range where it's like T. Higgins, George Pickens. I might move him up a little bit though, just because like I don't like we know he's gonna lead this team in targets. Real quick, I want to move on to the rankings, but real fast answer. Terry leads the team in targets. Who's second on this team by the end of the season?
I think Eckler.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think it's gonna be like close between him and then if Luke McCaffrey merges and then Benson or one of the tight ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, let's get into it. Rankings, disagreements, debates, it's always fun. And overall, just talking about some players we like. Rankings constantly being updated at ftnfantasy.com. Check it out. Use that promo code FTN15 to get yourself 15% off. Meanie, let's start at quarterback. And let's just kind of start at quarterback and pair in 2 players from this team, since we will be talking about somebody in the backfield from this team. Jordan Love, I have at quarterback 11. And if you've made adjustments since I took these notes down last night, feel free to mention that, but quarterback 11 for me, quarterback 6 for you. I do remember being on Sirius with you talking about Jordan Love and how much you like him. And then also Josh Jacobs, you're a lot higher on than consensus, especially the fellow analysts at FTN. So talk about these Green Bay players and why you're so high on them.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love had the breakout last year, and I'm fully buying. And the fact that he's quarterback 9, quarterback 10, you know, on average off the board, best ball at high stakes, makes him a really good target. I have no issues with Allen and Hurts and Lamar. Obviously, nice to have those 3 guys, but I just don't like to draft quarterbacks early. So CJ Stroud was the guy that had the most shares of him best ball last year, and Jordan Love was the guy that had the second most shares. They went pretty late. Stroud is getting like a ton of respect in drafts where he's going as quarterback 5, 6. I've even seen him as the 4th quarterback off the board after those first 3 rushing quarterbacks and Allen, Hurts and Lamar. As for Jordan Love, I mean, he was quarterback 6 last year in fantasy points per game, and he really struggled in the first half. I mean, he was pressing, he was throwing the ball like deep down the field in double coverage, and he was getting, you know, picked early on. And then in the second half, it just felt like, you know, Matt LaFleur changed the offense a little bit, and he was just more comfortable. I mean, he was the best quarterback in the NFL from week 11 on. He was 7-2 from just a record standpoint. He had 21 touchdowns and one pick. He had the highest QBR. There was a stretch there where he played Detroit and KC in back-to-back games. He won both of those games. He tossed 6 touchdowns and nearly 600 yards. He had the best QBR against the Chiefs defense last year, which was one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. You just look at all of those weapons, and it was Love's first year in what was the youngest wide receiver slash tight end room in all of football. So, you know, Romeo Dubs another year. Can Christian Watson stay healthy? I have a lot of questions on whether he can or not, but Dontavian Wicks is a terrific route runner. And then you have Jaden Reed, and then an upgrade in the running back room. Like, Aaron Jones was great down the stretch and into the playoffs, but this guy has not been able to stay healthy over the past couple of years. He hasn't been the same running back. Josh Jacobs is a couple years removed from leading the NFL in rushing yards. And last year, I mean, you know this, looking at Stats Hub and just diving in all the statistics, you know, he faced a stack box like a ton last year. And 2 years ago, it was completely opposite, because they had a guy like Carr who could move the ball. Like, say what you want about Carr, but he could move the ball. Jimmy G couldn't move the ball yet last year. Aiden O'Connell had games. There was a game where Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. So I think it's a good thing that he is in an offense where maybe the touches come down. Over the last 2 years, he's been a workhorse back, a bell cow back, averaging 3 catches per game and 20 opportunities per game. Maybe the touches come down a little bit, but potentially more efficient. And again, he's going to sling the ball around. It's, you're not going to see a ton of stack boxes. I'm buying the Green Bay Packers offense. And the fact that you can get Love as quarterback 8 or 9, like, CJ Stroud finished behind Love in fantasy points per game, but automatically people are just bumping him up to a top 5 guy, putting Anthony Richardson there, the return of Kyler. I like these guys, but I like the middle round targets at my quarterback. And I think that Love is going to build off what was a really good first full season in the NFL. Like, you can treat him as a rookie, but this dude's been in the NFL for a while, and there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, I think it's a good point with Stroud, because, like, I think projections wise, most projections will just prefer Stroud, and I think he's a better player. I think there's better talent around him. I think the depth is pretty good for Green Bay, but the high end talent just obviously favors Houston. But, like, I kind of have Stroud in that same kind of tier of, like, Love, Dak, Burrow. Like, how different are the passing metrics and overall stats? Maybe not metrics, but just season end production. How different is Stroud's stats at the end of the season compared to Dak, Love, Burrow? And he goes earlier. That's why Stroud's just not even on my board. And I will say, Love, like, I'm lower on him because I'm also higher on Burrow. Jaden Daniels, I like more than Jordan Love at this point now, I think. But it's not that I don't like Jordan Love. Like, I love the fact that we saw more pre-snap motion, because with Aaron Rodgers, like, Matt LaFleur has always wanted to run pre-snap motion, but Rodgers hates it, so that just didn't happen. Yeah. They went up to like a top 12 team in pre-snap motion last season. I love that for that offense. I just, like, quarterback's just so deep. It's just like you can't rank everybody in the top 5.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can, I mean, this tier for me after Allen, Hurts, mm-hmm. and Jackson, I don't even really consider Mahomes in that tier.
Really?
Like, Mahomes, I'd say, like, he's knocking on the door there. Like, he can certainly average 21, 22 fantasy points per game. Patrick Mahomes, I think the offense is going to be better. I mean, last year was certainly a down year from him, averaging 17 fantasy points per game, and the rest of the guys are 20 plus. Like, he doesn't run as much in the regular season, but he's still going to give you like
he's rushed for at least 300 in 4 straight seasons. I think what we'll see probably is the scramble rate come down, because he'll actually have players open, so he doesn't have to.
Yeah, 100%.
I think,
so he can get to that 20 range.
I think Mahomes is easily going to go back to like 20, 22 fantasy points per game. And with Jacobs, yeah, you mentioned the stack boxes. According to the Stats Hub at FDN Fantasy, 35.2% stack box rate, which for us, we have stack boxes as 7-plus defenders in the box. That was the 4th highest rate in the NFL. So that's not going to be clearly as high. I do think I would push back on saying they upgrade. I think Aaron Jones is better than Josh Jacobs, but I've always been just higher on him as a player. So Jacobs I'm also lower on, but again, it's not... I think there's a chance we see like Jacobs go down toward closer to like the usage we've seen from Aaron Jones, just because LaFleur has always wanted to use multiple running backs. They still are pretty high on AJ Dillon, and Marshawn Lloyd could be like the pass catcher running back by halfway through the season. But I think
the offense. Yeah, I could see that with Lloyd, but Dillon's washed, dude.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think AJ Dillon, I was surprised he's still on the roster, but there are reports out of camp that they're still really high on him and he's looked pretty good. So,
I know LaFleur's taken a couple shots at him. And it's possible maybe he falls into like a, you know, a goal line role if something happens.
No, I don't think he's getting the goal line role. I just think, and to be fair, like, I think by like week six, Marshawn Lloyd's taking his snaps anyway.
100%. Like, if you're looking to handcuff Jacobs or you're looking for a home run pick, it would be Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, I really like him too. Unfortunately, injuries for him in camp. And then, you know, throughout the last 3 or 4 years in college, he's had some injuries there as well. But like, just going back to quarterback, and this is the thing, like in my projections and in terms of tiers, like when I look at quarterbacks, I don't really see much of a difference between Stroud, Murray, Burrow, Love, Daniels, Dak.
Oh yeah, and Murray too. Kyler, like I'm just taking at this point, like if I miss out on the top four quarterbacks and maybe Richardson, like I'm just gonna take Kyler and I just will take him over everybody. So
instead of Stroud at pick 65, and you can get Love at pick 100. You know what I mean? So that's just kind of how it's totally fair. Quarterback position.
Let's go to Devon Achane. If you want in-depth analysis on Achane, I wrote my fantasy crossroads series between him and Isaiah Pacheco. Check that out. But you have Achane, what, RB
15, I think.
I think I might have wrote this wrong. I have an RB 12, so I have him. I think last time I looked, you were at 19. That could easily be wrong. I'll double check that. But you are, I believe, lower on him than consensus anyway. So talk about the worries for Achane. I'm also lower on him than consensus, just a little bit higher on him than you. For me, what it's going to come down to is red zone usage. Like, if he can cut into Mostert's red zone usage a little bit, and I said this all the time, and I'll keep saying it, I am more, I'm pretty risk averse when I draft, but I'm also way more afraid to not draft Devon Achane than to draft him. Because if I don't draft him, he's as good as he should be in this offense, and obviously won't be as good as he was last year, because like that was like absurd, but you just can't find a better fit, a better talent for this offense. And you would expect at least some sort of uptick in overall usage in his second season.
Yeah, you know, I'd like the player. I'm appealed with Mike McDaniel and the offense and the scheme. And you could see, what, to your point, he was LaDainian Tomlinson like in those four games. I understand in best ball people want to shoot for upside, like RB7. I hardly have any shares of him. It's just not, I have not been taking him as like the 15th overall pick.
And by the way, you do have him at 15. I don't know how to read, so
no, it's all good. I think I adjusted over the past couple of weeks into a range with, you know, into a tier with Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, I moved Kamara up too, just because Dennis Allen just does not like Kendre Miller at all.
Oh my goodness. It's a rough go for Kendre Miller. My God.
He's like, I don't want to get into it. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. So, I mean, I see the upside. I see the appeal. I think it really does depend on draft construction, roster construction. Call me a coward, but I like to roll with, two wide receivers early, or my hero RB being like a guy that's not going to split the backfield and is going to get a lot of touches, like a Saquon or a Jonathan Taylor, have a lot of shares of those guys end of the first or early second. And I'm just not finding myself getting to Devon Achane. I just don't think Raheem Mostert's going anywhere, dude. Like, I really don't. They extended him. Mike McDaniel knows him from San Fran. He's the first player he brought over in Miami. I know he's a lot older and he's certainly going to see some regression in terms of touchdowns. He's not going to get 20 again, but I think that he can hold up with, like, as the lead, as the goal line guy, as the red zone guy as well. You're going to see Achane as the red zone guy as well. Even Mike McDaniel, man, he was asked about the 1-2 punch. He's like, why isn't this like a three-headed monster? You know, we'll get right involved as well. This is like so much going on, and I don't want to say that he can't hold up, but I do have questions about his build and you know, if you're going to give this guy 10 plus carries a game, which I think we can count maybe on, I'd say 5-6 games is where we're going to see him 10 plus, 11 plus carries. There's only a couple games last year where he did that. Those three games, Pfeiffer, like 18 for 203, right? And four touchdowns, 8 for 101 and two touchdowns, 11 for 151 and a touchdown. I think we're what's really appealing for him is the receiving work. Like, he's going to have the leg up on Raheem Mostert when it comes to receiving work. But I just can't get there as a top 10, top 12 running back. I see the appeal. I see the upside, but I think that there's a lot of risk that early. So I'm really just not, I don't have a lot of shares of him.
Yeah. And to be fair, I also don't. I'm just slightly higher than you. But we're both kind of in the same, like Pacheco, I'm taking over him. Yes. ETN.
He owns the backfield. Both those guys own their backfield.
Right. And I think, again, like, we could be looking at this conversation 4 months from now and be like, why was he not a first round pick? Like, he could be that good.
Yeah, we're stupid.
But yeah, he's a pretty polarizing player for sure. He's one of those players where, like, if you could fast forward and to see a player's final season stats, he would be one of the top five players. I'd want to see what his usage and all that looks like. When we come back, more rankings discussion. Again, check out the rankings at FTNFantasy.com. Use that promo code FTN15 to get you 15% off. We have drafts this weekend. So excited. Rankings being adjusted. Talking about some players that Meaty and I may be a little bit different on in terms of our rankings. More players coming up. FTN Fantasy, don't go anywhere. All right, Meaty, let's go to... I had James Cook on this list because I am at 7, you have him at 14, but I've talked about him more than probably any player on this podcast this offseason. So if you want to talk about why you're low... And it may, you might not even be low on him. I am just like so insanely higher on him than the rest of the rankings at FTN Fantasy. So that's a huge part of it. Other than that, though, I had Gus Edwards on this. You moved him down a little bit. You had him at 31 and moved him down to 38. So we're a lot closer there. Anybody else have running backs out to you? Because those were some of the players I had listed, but you adjusted the rankings a little bit last night.
Yeah, no, I think we can certainly talk about James Cook. You've had a lot of great things to say about James Cook, especially, you know, when Joe Brady took over in the offense. And I think that there's a real possibility that he's a guy that catches like north of 45 balls, which is super exciting.
I'd be surprised if he was under 45.
Yeah. Okay. So, and every time I talk to you, I feel like I should adjust him just a touch. But, you know, he's in that tier for me with Rashad White, who I do expect some of the, you know, the catches potentially to come down a little bit with Kanellis gone and Bucky Irving there on the squad. You know what? Honestly, it's the red zone usage. That's it. Yeah. At the end of the day, like, I think he's going to be among the leaders in overall touches and carries and opportunities. You know, I was talking about his touchdown prop on Sirius at 3.5 plus money. It's like, man, dude's going to fall in the
yeah,
end zone.
Yeah, last time we talked, we actually discussed that. And right? It's like, you can be worried about Josh Allen all you want, but at that low of a mark,
low
like
number,
geez. Yeah, my case for James Cook is pretty simple. Obviously, the offense when Joe Brady took over really, really shifted towards favoring him. Without Joe Brady, he averaged 12 carries, 2.8 targets, 14.4 touches, and 12 fantasy points per game. With Joe Brady, 16.7 carries, 3.7 targets, 19.6 touches, and 16.7 PPR points per game. The Bills climbed to top 6 in neutral script rush rate when Joe Brady was the offensive play caller. And the other thing that is really notable to me, Ken Dorsey was not great at getting Josh Allen to take the checkdowns and the layups. Joe Brady was. In Joe Brady's offense in those games, his checkdown rate was at 13%. In the games with Ken Dorsey, the checkdown rate for Josh Allen was 9.5%. So that benefits James Cook in the passing game. On top of the fact that, oh, by the way, a player that averaged 160 targets per season for Buffalo the last 4 years is now gone. He has it's a small sample size, but target share went up by 4% when Diggs was off the field last season. Like, we always talk about, oh, which wide receiver, which tight end is going to step up in the absence of an elite wide receiver like Stephon Diggs. A lot of times it's also just an uptick in pass catching usage from the running back, which we already saw in the second half last season, while Diggs was, yes, there, but also not good in the second half. So I think 7 is probably... It could easily be a little bit too high, but if he scores, like, give him 6 rushing touchdowns. I think he can catch 60 balls, and he's been efficient in this offense. And I also think I'm not worried about Ray Davis. I know he's looked good in the preseason. He's had issues with ball security in training camp, and, like, I don't think Ray Davis is coming in and playing at the goal line. He might, but, like, the Bills also had to add running backs. Latavius Murray gone, Damien Harris gone, like, Right. They had to bring back Ty Johnson and then draft somebody. So I'm not worried about Ray Davis. I think he's going to be a good player for Buffalo, but not somebody that's going to take meaningful work away from James Cook whatsoever.
You know, since we're on the Bills, do you have a preference between, like, I know we've chatted before about Kincaid, we like Kincaid, but do you have a preference between Coleman and Shakir?
I mean, it depends. Like, right in a vacuum, if Curtis Samuel's good with this turf toe, I want Curtis Samuel, but I am struggling with this because we haven't really gotten a great picture of what the usage will look like because the preseason has been weird because Samuel was limited then the first preseason game, I believe, then obviously didn't play. And like Josh Allen has barely been on the field. They've been playing Keon Coleman a ton because like, why wouldn't you? He's the player you really need to see the most from of this wide receiver room. So he's been playing a ton in the preseason. I love Shakir. Josh Allen loves Shakir. He fits, I think, this offense the best between the two. I don't have it ranked this way yet, but it's going to come down to like who's on the field when they're in 12. And I just don't know what the answer is yet because we haven't seen all three wide receivers consistently on the field when Josh Allen's been on the field. Because I think this team goes 12 personnel like 30%+ of the time. So it's a terrible answer, but sometimes when we're doing this fantasy analysis, being able to just say, I'm not sure, is fine. And like right now, because we haven't really gotten that clear picture in preseason, I'll know week one, which is a terrible answer when we're drafting. But like, I really want to see who's on the field in 12.
I know. I hear you.
I would lean Shakir though right now, just because I think he's going to be able to earn more targets consistently.
That's who I lean as well. But I find myself like one or the other. Like in drafts, like leaving with one of
them. I mean, the upside is with Keon.
Yes, I would agree. And, you know, a lot of people seem to have the Curtis Samuel answer. And I did see McDermott say he's optimistic about him being ready to go week one. I think he's going to be on the field probably the most, but like he's the guy that I actually don't have a lot of shares of. I just don't think the ceiling's that high, despite his best campaign coming with Brady. And
it's kind of like Green Bay's receivers, right? They all kind of go late enough and they all go right around each other. But if you're just taking chances, why not take the chance on the guy that could be like massive upside, which Samuel's probably ceiling is like, oh, Curtis Samuel finished as the wide receiver 29 this year. Like, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or the other guys maybe could be a high end too.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay with the wide receivers here. Michael Pittman. I am so high on him. And like I feel like the entire industry is low on him. I have him at wide receiver 13. You have him at like wide receiver 25, 26, which I don't think is that low when you look at where he's actually being drafted, but when you look at where I have him ranked, it's like, wow, Meanie, what the hell? Why don't you like Michael Pittman?
I know.
Talk about Pittman, though. I just think, like, Josh Downs being sidelined definitely helps with this, but, like, he's going to get so many targets again. And, like, it's kind of similar to James Cook, but at wide receiver, like, touchdowns are the only concern, really.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually moved him up last week. I was even lower. I was like, man, I can't be this low on Pittman. In high stakes, he's going pretty high, man, as like wide receiver 13, 14. So like the high stakes community is really on him.
That's the difference too. Like I have him ranked that way. I don't have to draft him anywhere close to that range.
No, you don't. You know, in best ball, I think he's kind of slid down a little bit, even though it's heavy wide receiver there. I think people are more willing just to take Anthony Richardson and that's it. Maybe A.D. Mitchell a little bit later on. I think he's a really good player. I just don't think he's going to get the same type of work. I actually don't.
Taylor being healthy will definitely impact that too.
Taylor being healthy and also like Gardner Minshew. Like if you look at some of the splits, like Minshew really peppered him. And I know it was a very small sample size, just four games. And the first four games for Anthony Richardson was really like, two and a half. I mean, he got hurt in two of the four games. But it's going to be a run first team. I know it's going to be up tempo and I love Shane Steichen as a play caller. And, you know, Richardson's actually, you know, even last night, I think he was 8 for 9 and the one incompletion was a drop pass. So maybe on the sidelines, it was a good thing for him as well. I still think he's fairly raw as a passer, but yeah, no Taylor. They're going to run the ball a ton with Taylor and with Anthony Richardson. And you add A.D. Mitchell there, who I know Josh Downs is going to be in the slot when he's healthy, but A.D. Mitchell's been getting some run in the slot. And I think he's going to get a lot of one-on-one as like the deep threat guy in this offense. I think Richardson will throw to him. You know, you'll see a couple deep shots, I think, a game, you know, with all the RPOs and boxes being stacked. So I like Michael Pittman as a player. I've always been pro Michael Pittman over Paris Campbell at those debates back in the day. I think he's a really good player, short intermediate. You can toss it up to him. He can go and get it. Yeah, the touchdown's probably limited. I just feel like we'll see a downtick in overall usage once everybody is ready to go and healthy. And I don't think Josh Downs will miss too much time. I know he's probably not going to be there week one. But when everybody is rolling on the offense, they have the three wide receivers. You have Taylor to the backfield, Richardson running. I think this is a team that's going to run the ball, like, I don't know, what do you think, like 25 times a game? Like, that's something I could easily see, maybe even more than that.
Yeah, I think that division, I talked about this last week, that division could be really, like, sneaky for shootouts. You have Houston, you have Tennessee, absolutely, that's going to pass more, yeah. Jacksonville. Yeah. I just think, like, I know that, and I love A.D. Mitchell. I love him. And Downs was good last year. But the way this offense is constructed, it's going to lead to Michael Pittman just having a ton of targets, because it's literally the RPO scheme that we saw with the Eagles when A.J. Brown was getting all of those RPO targets. And I'm not saying Michael Pittman's A.J. Brown. He's not even close to the same level of player, but he's in that role. And last year, according to FTN data, Colts ran RPOs at the highest rate in the NFL, over 18%. Michael Pittman had 53% of their RPO targets, which is like,
it's crazy.
It's obviously skewed because, like, you can't go through your progressions when you're passing out of an RPO, because then you'll get, you know, a legal man downfield. But those plays are predetermined to go to Michael Pittman. And then according to the FTN Advanced Stats Hub, Michael Pittman had 34% of the Colts' first read targets. I just think maybe not to that level, but he's still going to be a volume machine. And I think there is some upside for some downfield targets finally, because he's played with so many different quarterbacks, with these veteran quarterbacks that weren't getting the ball down the field. I think with Richardson's arm strength and arm talent, we can see more of that unlocked this season. So I'm a little bit too high. Maybe I'll move him down a little bit, but I'm still going to be much, much, much more in on Michael Pittman than the consensus.
Yeah, there's a couple dudes. I see Pope at 14. I see Spratt at 15, Ratcliffe at 20, and a couple of us in the mid-20s. So, I mean, you bring up a lot of good points, and the RPOs, I mean, it really should still go to Pittman, right? To your point.
Yeah, this is literally
also,
the most...
there was a lot of time, man. He was the only guy in the field last year for the Colts.
That's fair. This is literally the most fantasy-friendly offense in the NFL, because they lead the NFL in pace. Quick. They run RPOs. Yeah. Like, they're great. So
Steichen's a boss.
He's awesome. Yeah. He is so good. Let's talk about some wide receivers that you may be a little bit more excited about than some of the consensus. Who stands out to you? I tried to trade you. I'm in a dynasty league, but Ladd McConkey, I know you're really high on. I'm fine with Ladd, but I think I actually prefer Josh Palmer. So that's an interesting kind of discussion. Talk about talk about some of these wide receivers that you have moved up and are a little bit excited about.
Yeah, Ladd and Palmer, I think, are both really good targets. I see you have him at 50. I have him at 57. There's a few people that have him in the 60s or high 50s for us. So, there's a lot of talk about, of course, just being a run-first team, but we still have Justin Herbert for over 500 pass attempts, which is, I believe, inside the top 10 in our projections. And, you know, it's Justin Herbert. He's so good. They're not just going to have him turn around and hand it off, 40 times a game, even though Harbaugh and Roman want to run the football. So everybody's aware, you got over 200 catches and like nearly 2,500 receiving yards gone from the squad from last year. And even Mike Williams only played like, what, 2, 3, 4 games last season. So I know Ladd has been, the entire offense has kind of been, quote unquote, behind the eight ball, because Ladd was dealing with injury, and then the plantar fasciitis for Justin Herbert. He just shed the walking boot. So these guys haven't had a whole lot of time together. I don't believe in Quentin Johnson. Man, reports are so bad with Quentin Johnson. Like, they're just talking about him running good routes in camp. That's it. Like, he ran a different route.
That's the bar.
It ended with him dropping the ball. Yeah. Even Brandon Rice is like maybe even ahead of him at the moment. DJ Chark, hip injury. So I think Palmer's in a really good situation to lead the team in targets potentially. He's the only guy really that's caught balls from Herbert. But I think Ladd, I really do believe that he's going to have the slot role locked down. I love his hands, his footwork, after the catch. You've heard Herbert talk him up as like a 4-year, 5-year veteran. I think that he's going to play a big role right away. So I have him just inside the top 40, which is not too far off from where you have him either. But I've been getting a lot of shares of him as my fourth wide receiver. Don't really feel comfortable as my third, but getting him as my fourth, and that's hammering wide receiver within like three of the first four or five picks and then getting back involved with him. And then Palmer, again, I think he's also a pretty good target. I think these guys are going to be a big part of the offense. And, you know, there may be questions on whether Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins or Vidal can even hold up to run the football as much as they want. So Herbert is going to toss it. And I think that Ladd McConkey is a really good target, especially in PPR format, man. And him and Brian Thomas Jr. are two rookies that I really want one of the two kind of in the middle parts of my drafts.
Brian Thomas has looked awesome.
Has he ever?
And Scott Spratt has gotten me a lot more excited about Trevor Lawrence this season as a bounce back because of the touchdown regression and all the drops. He had like a 4.5% drop rate.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think Brian Thomas, again, 24 end zone targets from Calvin Ridley, led the NFL, gone from last season. Gone. Brian Thomas, I think, leads his team in end zone targets. You know, I think Kirk gets a little bit more than last year, but like nobody on that team. Gabe has obviously, you know, at times been an end zone target for Josh Allen, but I think the opportunity is right there for Brian Thomas to kind of comfortably lead this team in end zone targets in an offense that's going to throw quite a bit. Will probably be better, and there'll just be overall positive regression going that way of passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm in on the T-Law bounce back as well. I mean, he also comes with a little bit of a rushing floor. I feel like he would run more, like watch him in Clemson. Felt like he'd get up in north of 400. He still could. It's still early on in his career, right? But yeah, I mean, the deep threat guy there, the safety blanket, I guess, is Evan Ingram, the short A-dot stuff to him. Kirk is a good receiver. Gabe will cut into a little bit of those red zone targets. But yeah, I mean, there's not a lot that Brian Thomas can't do. I mean, people talk about his route tree being limited, but they didn't ask him to do that at LSU with Malik Nabers there. There's a lot that he can do, and he's got the speed, athleticism to get down the field. His catch radius is solid. So yeah, I'm really excited about him. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Ladd McConkey, obviously, because of the touchdowns. But those are two rookie wide receivers that I have a lot of shares of, along with your guy, Keon Coleman.
You also are a little bit higher on Jameson Williams, who I've kind of gone back and forth on. I think there's been a lot of these best ball drafts where his ADP is getting a little bit out of control. Because, yeah. And again, I guess best ball, like you kind of embrace the variance of a player like Jameson Williams in this offense. And like the fact that he has 14 games indoors is awesome. And the fact that he has a normal offseason for once, and he's going to be in a full-time role from week one, finally. And Dan Campbell's been talking him up, and it's still a, you know, former first-round selection. I just think where he's going, he's like, give me Rashid Shaheed over him. I actually have to go back and look exactly where he's going, but you like him. And I think there's, like, he could also fit that description of, like, a second-half breakout candidate, because, like, he's not going to compete with Amon-Ra or Laporta for targets, but, like, team is going to score a lot of points, and if he's in the Josh Reynolds role and then some, there's definitely opportunity there.
Yeah, the price tag is expensive, Pfeiffer, really. Like, pick 81 on average, wide receiver 45. Like, some guys that are going around him, Brian Thomas, JSN, Coleman, Ladd.
Yeah, like, there's no Addison way I'm taking Hawkins behind there's him. No way I'm taking JMO over any of those guys.
No. I have him in the late 40s. I actually had him in the early 40s. Really bullish. I'm like, I need to scale back a little bit because it's
dude.
It's
he's not going needed. Ahead on underdog. He's going ahead of Addison, Hopkins, Sutton, Samuel, Palmer, like the Shaheed, Lockett, Jacoby Myers. Like, there's no way. You know, there's no shot I'm taking him over those guys. And again, it's best ball, so it's part of it.
That's fine.
And I'm sure like stacking obviously impacts that too. But like, in a vacuum, there's just no shot.
Yeah, that's why, because of the offense. You just talked about the 14 games inside the dome. The offense is great. In high stakes, he's around wide receiver 50. I would rather have him than Curtis Samuel. I actually would rather have him than Jordan Addison. I think the breakout is coming. I think it's the thing is, and I know that it's an easy price to pay because who's the one? Amon-Ra. Who's the two? Laporta. Who's the three? Gibbs, right? They're going to run the ball. Montgomery's the closer. But let's not forget about the talent, right? You said this guy was a first round pick, torn ACL in college, missed the first 12 weeks of his rookie season, year two, suspended six games. So this is the first year he's really like been in camp and getting run with the ones. And towards the end of last season, you could see the breakout. You could kind of feel it coming, you know, especially in that NFC Championship game against the Niners. He had a 42-yard rushing touchdown. He had a 22-yard TD catch. It may be a lot like DeSean Jackson's career, where he only has like 40 to 50 grabs, but he flirts with 1,000 yards, and you know, he has 7+ touchdowns, because there's just a lot of attention on the other guys, and he's got long catches of like 63, 38, 32, 45. He's very boom or bust. But again, roster construction, can you get this guy as like your fifth wide receiver? I mean, why not take that shot on the pedigree, the good offense, and the ceiling games that he can bring? So I'm a big fan of his game. I actually wanted the Eagles to take him. I'm glad to have things worked out with Devontae and AJ, you know, over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think you guys are fine.
Yeah, it'd be fine. But I think that they're really is going to be a breakup for him. Good call in Shaheed, because he's another guy that I feel very similar in terms of like what the games could look like in production, not similar wide receivers, but and he is going as wide receiver 54. So it's like two very boomer bust wide receivers, you know, between rounds 8, 9, and 10. And again, I'm just in, dude. I just feel like we're really going to see the breakup from him this year.
Let's close it out with the tight end position. And Meany, I tried to find players that we really are different in the rankings on, but tight end's tough. Like 1 through 10 is mostly kind of the same. It's just depending on the order of like, do you like Laporta 1? Do you like Kelsey 1? Do you like McBride 3? Do you like Kincaid 4? Do you like Andrews 3? Like, I did see you have McBride at 5, which is a little bit lower than some of the other spots, but like, there really wasn't much that stood out. So I'll just kick it to you to close out, like tight ends that you just like are looking at this season in drafts. Like, obviously we all would love to get some of the top 4, top 5 tight ends, but, and we've talked about this before, I didn't have to look at your list to know that you were going to have Jake Ferguson and Kyle Pitts, because we've talked about this many times, but I could not agree more.
Yeah. You may need to give your love for McBride. I know a lot of people, I seem to be on an island there.
I'm McBride. Actually going to make a switch. I'm probably going to put Andrews 3.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, but same tier, right? I mean, McBride
it's all the same tier. Terrific. Like, I did the tight end article, like the tight ends that can finish as the overall tight end 1. I'm pretty sure I had the entire top 4 in one tier. Like, it wasn't like broken up. It was literally, for me, Kelsey, McBride, Laporta, Andrews, all in their own tier.
Yeah, and that.
And then Kincaid was like just on the outside. And then, obviously, like, I don't think it happens at this point, but who knows? But if somehow Brandon Ayuk is traded, Kittle's in that tier. Kittle's probably top 3 for me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if Ayuk doesn't get on the field here soon, I mean, Kittle's, even with the lack of work, I'll say, even though he does get some, he's just so efficient, right? That offense is just so efficient. The tight ends that I've been getting, Kincaid is a guy that I've been getting. Andrews falls down sometimes after Kincaid and Pitts. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to take Mark Andrews. Evan Engram is like a target hog, but I get it. I think he's a decent target. But Ferguson is the guy that Ferguson and Pitts are kind of guys that I've been getting a lot of shares of. And I know people are saying, oh, here we go with Pitts. Like, I've actually never been in, because the quarterback play has been trash. It's just straight up. Like, Kirk Cousins had 18 touchdowns in 8 games, and the Falcons had 17 in 17 games last year. Like, the quarterback play has been so bad. And, you know, if you're scrolling on Twitter, you see a Kyle Pitts highlight, and then you see Kyle Pitts, like, trash, a drop, and, you know, looks fat and all this. Like, everyone's just either hating on him or they're really in. And I'm in, because I think that with the new scheme and Kirk Cousins as the quarterback, I think they're actually going to use this guy. Like, he had 5 red zone targets last year. How does a guy with that type of build has 5 red zone targets? Like, they're using him that way in camp. They're throwing corner fades to him. They're throwing to him in the red zone, and they're just making it a point. Like we are going to use this guy. There's no Arthur Smith. There's no Jonnu Smith. See how Cousins used T.J. Hockenson in Sean McVay's offense, and Kevin O'Connell and Zach Robinson coming over. So I'm in this year on Pitts. And, you know, you can get him after those 4 or 5 tight ends come off the board pretty easily. And as for Ferguson, and led all tight ends and end zone targets, I think the offense is still going to be pass happy. Dak was inside Dak actually was number 1 in pass attempts inside the red zone.
He had 64, I believe, end zone passes. It was like 15 more than anybody else.
And that's with Pollard having the second most red zone rushing attempts.
And not scoring at all.
And not scoring at all. And CD, of course, up at the top and end zone targets. So I don't think that Dallas helped themselves at all at the running back position. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot from Rico or Zeke. Zeke will be better than Pollard near the goal line should they get in there. The schedule is tougher. They beat up on a lot of brutal teams at home, but still going to be a pass-happy offense. And Ferguson, even though only had five touchdowns, is a guy that I think
that's his floor, in my
maybe
opinion.
Be a little bit. Is it? Yeah.
I think five is his exactly. Four. Like, I think he could get up to 7-8.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. Like, is 7-8, I think, is attainable. I think he'll still get the same type of usage. You could see down the stretch into the playoffs how Dak used him, was comfortable with him. Of course, CD is going to be the guy there when he's there. But Jake Ferguson is the clear number two option. And yeah, his touchdown prop is 4.5. I've already, you know, put that in for the subs that I think he's going to get at least 5 again. So he's a guy that I've been getting some shares of. Four and a half.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I kind of stopped there. You know, a lot of people playing, you know, tight end premium and things like
that. Taysom Hill on Yahoo.
I have Taysom Hill actually at 17. He's been a top 12 tight end over the past couple years, which is crazy.
We know he's going to have a role. And there was games last year when Michael Thomas was out and they didn't have a, you know, consistent target after Olave, obviously not counting Kamara. There was stretches where he had like 6 targets. And like, if he's getting 5-6 targets and then 4-5 carries, because like, if Kendra Miller is not part of their plan, and Jamal Williams, I love him, but he was like one of the least efficient players at the position last year, like, Taysom Hill might actually be like a top 12 tight end when it's all said and done.
Well, he has been. Right. That's a thing that people don't look like. He's actually been a top. He's been 12 in each of the last 2 years in fantasy points per game. And now what Clint Kubiak is doing, of course, with motion and stuff. But we have seen him take snaps as a wide receiver, a tight end, a fullback, a halfback. He's in line. He's just doing everything. Dude had more than 20 red zone rushing attempts last year. Like, he is actually very much involved with this team and in the red zone. Yeah. And what do we know about tight ends after the first 9 or 10? You score a touchdown. Yeah.
If he runs for a 1-yard touchdown, he's a top 12 tight end of the week.
Yeah, easily. Exactly. So I kind of cut myself off at 9 with Ferguson, but in deeper formats, you know, I'm bypassing guys like Goddard and Schultz and Komet, Musgrave, Hunter Henry, I'm not super excited about. Pat Freiermuth, a couple shares, you know, in full point PPR leagues. Deeper down, like Kate Odd and Isaiah Likely, Tyler Conklin. But a little bit of Taysom Hill. But I want to focus on getting an elite tight end this year. I think it's... Man, the tight end position is a little bit sexier than it used to be in the past, but I just think it's important to get your, don't play that tight end game of chasing around last week's touchdowns and things. Like, try to get somebody involved in the offense and involved just, in the red
you're
zone
looking
package.
For routes. It's all you're looking for.
Exactly. And those first
don't
nine
look
guys,
at snaps for tight ends because they could be run blocking for 40-50% of them. Look for routes look for and route. Look for somebody that has an actual chance to be first, second on the team in targets. It's like,
yeah, and that's why McBride is appealing, and I need to probably dive into him a bit more. I was just, when I see the ADP at 40-45, it's like really, really tough for me to pull the trigger on that price point. But my goodness, it could be close to a 1A, 1B. I do expect Marv to dominate the targets, but McBride was very much involved.
I mean, Kincaid goes like a round later, round and a half later, just take Kincaid.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
And by the way, Taysom Hill, games last year, I mean, 8 targets, 2 carries, 5 targets, 5 carries, 9 carries, 12 carries, 7 carries and 2 targets, 13 carries and 2 targets. So
he really should have wide receiver and running back eligibility too.
The thing is too, like, he doesn't actually, if I'm not mistaken, like, line up in line at tight end ever really. So it's just kind of interesting that he's tight end eligible, but he's going to have some weeks where you look at the top scoring tight ends and he finishes tight end 8, tight end 10, 100%. Tight end 12. So yeah. All right, I mean, this was fun, man. Appreciate your time as always. Before we get out of here, obviously, like, obviously going to be plugging a lot of the same stuff that I've been plugging on the pod, but you individually, what are you working on? What do you got planned for the in-season content? And obviously, you're doing the series show, which has been great, so make sure everybody's checking that out as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I got to get you back on. You were fantastic on there. I love listening to you talk football, dude, diving into all the numbers. So yeah, we're 1-3 throughout this season, Monday to Friday on SiriusXM. A little bit of a rotation with Jake and Dame, but I'm on there every day. Mean Street's back now. We'll be going 3 days a week. You know, you got the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end rankings that you can go check out. You listen on iTunes or Spotify or on YouTube. We'll be there throughout the entire season. Having, you know, between Jake and I, we'll have an episode on our YouTube page every day. You know, Monday we'll obviously hit waivers and talk Monday Night Football. You know, Tuesday we'll still be talking football and rankings that will come out, and we'll have a rankings debate on Wednesday and Thursdays, you know, into the Thursday Night Football, and Friday with a lot of picks and props and start and sit stuff. And of course, once we get going in October, the NHL and the NBA will pick back up. So it's a multi-sport show, but heavy football right now, and absolutely free to check out. But man, I'm excited, dude. It's really exciting that the football season's here, and I'm just going to be more thrilled to be part of the FTN crew and to see everything that we have available. So hit us up if you guys have any questions at Chris Meany. Like I said, we'll be with you throughout the entire season, constantly updating these rankings and tinkering with projections before we officially get underway.
Yeah, I'm excited to answer start sit questions again, honestly. Like, it's, I enjoy that a lot. So, but yeah, use that promo code FTN15, especially if you have drafts coming up this weekend. Awesome, awesome weekend, awesome time to be a part of FTN Fantasy and all the awesome tools, content, projections, everything you can think of live on the site. Thanks for listening this week. As always, have a good weekend. For Meany, I'm Adam. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good one. Peace out.